Picture this. An alien civilization needs so much power, they build a massive shell around their entire star to capture every single drop of its energy. Today, we're looking at a paper by Amirnizam Amiri from the journal Universe, Dyson Spheres on HR Diagram, which asks, where would these massive megastructures actually show up on our cosmic maps?
It's basically like trying to spot a giant thermal blanket wrapped around a glowing coal. Instead of looking for a bright, shining star, we're hunting for the dim, warm signature of their waste heat.
Right. And the paper makes this fascinating case that the best place to search might not be around stars like our sun, but around much smaller, quieter stellar remnants and dwarfs. Let's dig in.
Picture a campfire that doesn't just burn for a few hours, but keeps glowing steadily for trillions of years. If you are an advanced civilization planning for the ultimate long game, you aren't looking at volatile, short-lived giants. You want the ultimate slow burners.
Trillions of years? Talk about a long-term investment. Wait, so are we talking about those tiny red M dwarfs? I know they are abundant, but what does that look like on a galactic scale?
It's massive. They actually make up about 70% of all stars in our galaxy. Ultra-efficient cosmic compact cars. That is essentially what they are. Because they burn their fuel so slowly, they provide an incredibly stable energy supply. And then we have white dwarfs, which offer a different kind of longevity.
Right, and the strange part is white dwarfs are basically dead stars, right? They're stellar remnants. How does a dead star run a power grid for billions of years?
A massive, super dense glowing ember left in the grill. That is basically a white dwarf. It's not fusing fuel anymore, but it holds on to its heat and radiates it steadily for billions of years as it slowly cools. It's a remarkably stable, predictable power source.
Okay, here's the thing. We aren't talking about biological habitability here, right? This is pure, raw energy harvesting.
Exactly. This isn't about finding a lush planet with liquid water. It's about securing a reliable, low-maintenance cosmic battery that won't go supernova or burn out anytime soon. For an advanced society, stability is the ultimate luxury.
Okay, let's talk about the construction bill. Building a Dyson sphere around our sun sounds like an engineering nightmare because of the sheer scale. But around a white dwarf or a red M dwarf, you get what I like to call a massive engineering discount. Picture wrapping a giant pumpkin versus wrapping a single cherry. If the host star is incredibly small and faint, you don't need a massive structure far away to capture its energy. Wait, so look at the numbers. For a red M dwarf, which has a luminosity of just 0.0001 to 0.6 times the sun, its habitable zone is super close, between 0.05 and 0.3 AU. So your sphere can be incredibly compact. For white dwarfs, it's even wilder. Since their luminosity is typically less than 0.001 of our suns, the sphere's radius can be just a few million kilometers. A few million kilometers still sounds huge, but in cosmic terms, that is a backyard project compared to our sun's 150 million kilometer distance. The material savings are astronomical.
Right, and the strange part is how the physics scales down. A smaller radius means exponentially less surface area. That means drastically less material to mine, transport, and assemble, making full energy capture actually feasible instead of just a sci-fi dream.
It's basically a cosmic thrift store find. An advanced civilization gets stable, long-term power without having to dismantle an entire solar system's worth of planets just to build the shell.
But consider the thermodynamics. A giant hollow sphere wrapping completely around a star is the ultimate energy trap. It can't just store that heat forever, though. If it doesn't let the energy out, the whole thing eventually melts. Exactly. Whatever goes in must come out. It's in radiative equilibrium. But how does the math actually balance the books? It's basically a massive radiator. The total power of the star is entirely absorbed by the sphere. To stay stable, the sphere must radiate that exact same amount of energy back out into space. And it does this as a black body, where that re-emitted energy is 4 pi times the sphere's radius squared times Stefan Boltzmann's constant times its temperature to the 4th power. Wait, so if the total energy output is forced to equal the star's output, then the temperature is locked to how big you build the thing? Precisely. When you set those two equal, you find the sphere's temperature is the star's temperature times the square root of the star's radius divided by the sphere's radius. So temperature drops as 1 over the square root of the radius.
So build it bigger and it gets cooler, but it's still pumping out the exact same total amount of power, just shifted entirely into the deep, invisible infrared.
Okay, here's the thing. If an advanced civilization actually pulls this off, building a massive shell that completely encloses their star, what does that do to our stellar maps? I mean, how does a star just vanish from the Hertzsprung-Russell diagram? It is a bit of a cosmic magic trick, isn't it? To understand it, we have to look at how we catalog stars. The HR diagram is essentially a celestial map, plotting how bright a star is against how hot it is. When you wrap a star in a solid sphere, you are fundamentally changing the face it shows to the universe.
Right, and the strange part is the displacement. It doesn't just blink out of existence entirely. The star's total energy output, its luminosity, is still escaping. But because it's absorbed by the sphere and re-emitted, it gets shifted. It gets pushed into a completely different neighborhood on the diagram.
A dusty, cold neighborhood. It's basically a hot light bulb wrapped in a thick wool blanket. The bright, visible light is trapped, but the blanket itself starts to warm up, radiating this low, faint heat. On the diagram, this shifts the object all the way down and to the right, into a region of incredibly cool, faint black bodies.
Wait, so the math in the paper shows this beautifully. Take an M-dwarf host at 3300 Kelvin, put a Dyson sphere around it at half an AU, and the temperature we detect drops to just over 157 Kelvin. At 10 AU, it's a freezing 35 Kelvin. The total power is identical, but it's completely redrawn as a cold infrared signature.
So instead of looking like a normal star, it stands out as this striking anomaly, a bright infrared source where a star should be, sitting in a dark corner of the map. A pristine, freshly swept stage. That is exactly what a white dwarf is to an astronomer. If we are searching for Dyson spheres, these dead stars are actually our cleanest observational targets.
Okay, here's the thing. Why are they cleaner targets than, say, a red dwarf?
It is less about their physical size and more about the background noise, or rather, the lack of it. A white dwarf spectrum is beautifully simple. It is basically a cooling ember, well described by smooth models. They have almost no intrinsic infrared features of their own. So if any unexpected infrared excess shows up above that smooth cooling curve, it stands out like a beacon.
Right, but space is dusty, isn't it? Couldn't a natural dust cloud orbiting the white dwarf mimic that same heat signature?
That is the beauty of this. A natural debris disk or dust cloud has a distinct chemical fingerprint. It leaves what astronomers call solid-state spectral features, things like a prominent silicate emission peak right at 10 micrometers. But an artificial Dyson sphere? It would just show a smooth, featureless blackbody continuum. No chemical peaks, just pure reprocessed heat. It is a stark difference.
So with an instrument like JWST, we could actually tell the difference between alien engineering and a messy asteroid belt? A real megastructure would look cleaner than a natural pile of space dust?
Exactly. That spectral simplicity, especially when paired with a drop in the star's optical light, is the ultimate diagnostic. it makes the white dwarf search incredibly precise.
Wait, so we aren't just dreaming about these megastructures, we can actually go hunt for them. Astronomers have a practical search strategy, and it starts with scouring massive catalogs like Gaia DR3, the TESS Input Catalog, and WISE to find nearby white dwarfs and red M dwarfs.
So instead of pointing telescopes randomly, we filter for these specific low-luminosity stars. But what does the signature actually look like? It's not like we can resolve a giant metallic shell on a camera.
No, we have to look at the light spectrum. A Dyson sphere absorbing stellar energy and re-emitting it at 50 to 300 Kelvin will glow in the mid-infrared, with peak emission wavelengths between 10 and 60 micrometers. That places it right in the sweet spot for JWST and WISE. So we look for that specific mid-infrared glow. But just finding the glow isn't enough to prove it's a megastructure, right?
Right. And the strange part is that we can actually confirm it. For nearby systems within 100 parsecs, JWST's MIRI instrument is sensitive enough to lock onto that clean black body signature, and we can look for the host star dipping in brightness if the sphere passes in front of it.
Ah, so the star's light would actually dip. And you can cross-reference that photometric variability with catalogs like Gaia. It turns a wild sci-fi hunt into an incredibly targeted, systematic search.
Okay. Here's the thing. By combining synthetic spectral modeling with multiband photometry, we aren't just guessing anymore. We have a systematic roadmap to find them.
It is a fascinating shift in perspective. Instead of searching for blazing, high-profile stars, our best shot at finding massive alien engineering might lie in the quietest corners of the galaxy, around those faint, cooling stars, where any artificial warmth really stands out.
Wait, so we actually have the technology to look for this now?
But it still leaves the biggest question of all. If we do find that perfect infrared signature, who built it? And are they still there?
That is the ultimate mystery. Until we find that first glowing signature, we'll keep looking into the dark.
Thanks for joining us.